When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
And welcome back to the Boundary Corner Podcast, along with my partners Brian Siegler and Jonathan Talley, and the family member himself, the White Vic tonight. I'm Curtis Wilson, and this episode is brought to you by Dr. Jeremy Counts down at Main Street Pharmacy in Blacksburg, your friendly neighborhood pharmacy, 301 South Main Street, Blacksburg, Virginia. Appearance number 7, but number 1 in our hearts, 57 on the line. Dwight, how you doing tonight, man?
I mean, the original
unk. Yeah, man. Hey, I appreciate it, man. Listen, it's an honor to be back on, man. I got a radio show I do, a segment. I've done a lot of stuff, man. I've been very blessed. Hokie Nation continues to show me love when I come back for games. It's crazy, man, because linemen need love too, and y'all show me a lot of love, man. And I told you guys this. I keep telling you sometimes when I get on and listen or watch y'all got one of the top BT podcasts in the game, man. And that's real. I mean, the guests you guys have been having, the topics, it's lovely, bro. But thank you. I'm great. I'm blessed.
Awesome. The guest, we just said, you said the guest we'd be having too. You the guest. You the honorary number one guest. So, hey, man. We appreciate you coming in here. We know you got a lot of things you could be doing or you do have to do, but you choose to spend a little bit of time with us. But we'll jump right in it when we're talking about things to do. We know you got kids. We've been keeping up with you. Your son playing basketball. Your daughter's out there at ODU, right?
Man, my oldest daughter, yeah.
Oldest daughter out there at ODU.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Go ahead.
How'd she feel after September? How did daddy lay it on her?
Oh, she was salty because she was talking a lot of ass the first year, her freshman year. Even on my dirty Suburban, she rode in the back of the window, ODU, whatever, some little thing, just trolling, bruh. I said, you grew up a Hokie fan. You even went to the Tech UVA game at UVA and were trolling UVA fans at the UVA bar. You know, you're a Vic. But she's also a mama. So, yeah, she was trolling. But it felt good because I don't really talk trash, but if anyone that knows me, once I talk, I let you have it. And I am also a.k.a. Petty Vic. I keep receipts. I got that Virgo memory, so I remember a lot of stuff. And, you know, funny thing, I mentioned my birthday being a Virgo. We play ODU on the 14th. We can't lose that game. That's my birthday.
Oh man,
can't lose that game.
We cannot lose that one, man.
I don't care who birthday it's on. We can't lose that. That would be a horrible start. So we don't get to that. We're gonna need to talk about that. We want to stay on the kids and the family for just a minute. Isaiah, state runner up, right?
Yeah, 2 years in a row, state runner up.
State runner up. Who they get beat by?
They lost. You know, it's funny, Tally. They played South Lakes, the team they beat early in the season. who has Jordan Scott. Jordan Scott plays at the South Lakes. For those that know Virginia high school basketball, South Lakes, rich in tradition, was built in 77. Patriots only 12 years old as a school. And Isaiah finished his school, his record at Patriot, 89-13, and had a great year. Just was named All-State, second team, All-Region, first team, All-District. Had a great junior year, but just a great career. They played South Lakes early in the season, and Isaiah was a key factor with 17-7-7, seven boards and seven assists, but had a monster dunk that was trending online. But South Lakes, they would do. We missed shots that we normally make with our eyes closed. Isaiah, who shot this past year 80% from the field, he missed seven or eight free throws. He was only one or two or something from the field. It's just his teammate and longtime friend and brother, Tay Barber, who's going to Harvard to play there in the fall, he only scored 11. He was our leading scorer. He was 4-13. And Desmond, the point guard, was 0-8 from the field. He did have 9 points, but it all came at the free throw line. It's just one of those games, man, because, you know, sometimes you got to tip your hat and say they made the shots, they made the plays, and was a tough loss. But, you know, I look at his career. He's just scratching the surface as a player. You know, he's getting a lot of interest and calls. It's so different now with the portal. He's got a couple of small offers, but he's been contacted by Boston College. Radford has reached out. Wagner, who just won, Wagner reached out about him 3 weeks ago. So I know a lot of people are texting and wondering online. Right now the deal is we're going to possibly prep because he's only 17. He turns 18 in May. He's 6'7", he's still growing. If we do prep, we'll go 4Q in you. But he's going to play with New World, the AAU organization, one of the best AAU teams in the DMV up here in the D.C. area, which has a lot of college connections. Nice. You know, so again, he's going down to ODU to visit his older sister. He's going to work out with Jason Wade, just finished his senior year at ODU as a basketball player. So God has a plan. We got a lot of interest. With his skill set inside, he can handle the ball. He can play defense. He can guard 1-5. He's coachable. He can score. I mean, he's got things to work on. But right after the loss, just I'll say this so we can move on. Right after the loss, you know, it's emotional. You watch your son's career end, even though it's a remarkable career. And if you have kids, everyone's going to go through this. Because when they are hurt and they're sick, you're hurt and you're sick. You know, seeing him break down during the runner-up trophy presentation, then watching South Lakes cheer and celebrate, you can't hide from that disappointment. But it was tough to watch. But then when I think about it, I know God has a plan. It's just different because you have to be patient. You have to be hard, work hard. And he came home, rested for a day. And that weekend, that Sunday and Monday, he was in the gym working out. And went in the garage, was just working out. And respect to South Lakes. They got a kid named Jordan Scott. He's got a tech offer, Virginia Tech. He's got about 22 Power 5 offers. His mom played at Michigan State. She's a South Lakes alumni. And then his dad played at Miami. So he's basketball royalty. You guys, if you follow high school basketball, you hear more about him. Again, Tech was there to see him when Patriot, my son's team, beat him. I thought maybe they might scratch and knock at Isaiah's door, but it's okay. We're going to see what happens. And I'm happy my son had a great career. I mean, you know, he chose – it's weird. He started off with football, but me, Mike, and Marcus and all of us stayed with football. He chose basketball. It's been the right thing for him, man.
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. We love to hear it, man. We love to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I saw you earlier, you know, kind of piggybacking off this with the basketball. You had some thoughts on the VHSL. And some of those rules, man. I saw it out there. I figured I had to throw it out there to you.
So, hey, B, I've been holding back because I'm very aware, because if I would have been tweeting and talking, my son as a sophomore, junior, and senior, if you saw Remember the Titans, man, Virginia is progressed. We're a blue state now, but some people still get, you know, petty. Remember the Titans. They were trying to blackball Denzel, trying to cheat him. I didn't want to say anything. But now that my son's graduating in May, I'm not holding back. The VHSL, even with the voting, how they did for All-State this year, the fact that I grew up in Virginia, I'm a proud Virginian. I played football and basketball for two Hall of Fame coaches, Coach Brower in basketball, Coach Mike Smith. The truth of the matter is it's just different. And I'm not one of those guys, as y'all all know, that my day was so much better and AAA, AA, and single A was so much better. We are a huge state. South Virginia's grown. Northern Virginia's booming. I live up here. It's overcrowded. The 757 is growing. Richmond is growing. You got to have classifications. But in Virginia, we have six on basketball and football and all the other sports. And each region does things differently, even for the playoffs. I'll share this with you and your viewers and listeners. Classic example. We played Oscar Smith. My son's team played Oscar Smith in the state semis at Hilton High School in Woodbridge, a neutral site. But Patriot was the higher seed, so it was up here. I go to watch OP girls play Thomas Dale girls, before my son plays. Back in the day, a doubleheader or tripleheader was held. You bought your ticket. You were there the whole day, night, or whatever. The VHSL.
No, I see what they were doing.
They made us.
What?
You had to buy two tickets for both games. If you were there for the OP, Osborne Park, Thomas Dale game, the announcer, who is a friend of mine, made an announcement. Security, police, and everybody, ADs, made everyone clear the gym, go back outside after the game was over, wait in the cold and rain, and then re-enter with your electronic ticket, and you had to go back in. It was insane. And I'm just like, why?
Dumb.
It's just very dumb. And it's dumb. And, you know, football is at an all-time bad. It's all at all-time low. I mean, you got 3-7 teams, including my alma mater, one of the best programs in VHSL history, Hampton High, 2 years ago, made the playoffs at 3-7. I played in the year, well, my senior year, we finished 8-2, and we needed a team to lose, and we had to beat Bethel because Iverson was locked up, so we ended up winning 20-7. But we had to win that game, and I think we needed Norview to lose in Norfolk, and we got in, and we lost to Norcom, who won state that year out of Portland. But that's how hard it was. I don't know, man. We are in a I'm not going to stop now that my son's out because I didn't want any shadiness going on. But I'm going to speak. And I'm not even one of those guys that stirs the pot. I'm very conscious of what I tweet, what I say. But I'm not going to I'm not going to lose sight of the fact that what's wrong is wrong, or what's right is right. And it's what you see now in this world with the NCAA, the VHSL, even if you want to get political. Even the educational system, there are a lot of people making decisions that don't understand how it affects the people you're making decisions for. Mm-hmm. From the college football playoffs to conference realignment to NIL, the portal, there are a lot of decisions being made. And, like, y'all need to get the right people in the room, man. That's all I'm going to say, man. It's just crazy.
All right. Well, I'm going to jump in because I had this to talk later on, but you brought it up. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about NIL, man. Because if you look across the boards at sites, you hear people's insights in talking about the Hokies. I mean, it's considered a top 25 NIL product.
It sure is. I mean,
top 25 NIL product. You don't seem surprised by that. So why? Why don't you? Why are we already there? Go ahead.
Brendan Hill, who's now coaching, he's kind of backed off of Twitter, but I would chime in with him because I would try to tell people on Twitter spaces, I'm not calling people liars. I'm not that guy, but I know and have always known Virginia Tech collectives have money. As a matter of fact, April 4th or 5th, I'm meeting up with some boosters in Alexandria, city of Alexandria, for some cocktails and drinks and dinner. I think my cousin Mike's going to be there, some other former players and some other donors. And I'm like, damn, bro, we got people that got money. Like, we think about Tech, you think about Bruce Smith, Mike, and Holder on the Today Show. Nah, bro, we got donors that own construction companies that know people like Tony Soprano. We got money to burn, man. Like, people just be talking like, oh, you know, we don't have it. You know, yes, that article that came out right before the season started shed some light in how we weren't, or we were misusing stuff, or the whole thing with John Boleyn and all of that. But I still know, and I've always known, Curtis, we've had a group of people that really care about Tech and that donate money. I've been around them. I've hung out with them. I've been, even last spring game, I was up in the suite with Kevin Jones and all those guys and Aaron Rouse, and there was a lot of money up there, a lot of important people. And you wouldn't even know it, man. People think money you see in the drip and the jewels. A lot of times it's like, nah, they got on some khakis from TJ Maxx and the polo. It's not what you think, and they're real chill. But in all seriousness, man, we have a great NIL. Triumph is doing a great job, and there are a lot of people who really want to see Virginia Tech succeed in all sports, and they're donating their time and money. I'm seeing it.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been a whole lot from a national perspective in terms of NIL and in terms of some of these other things that we're talking about. I mean, you got one team that's like unionizing players. You know, there might be, you know, there's talk of like in the future trying to get collective bargaining on the table. Like, what are your thoughts on NIL and how it's trying to, you know, move forward with these new type of rules?
I'm learning more about it every day, every week, every month. I've never thought that it was a bad thing. I've always just wanted some parameters. I just saw an article this morning about what's her name? Reese? Angela Reese? Angel Reese?
Angel Reese.
Talked about how discouraged she was and surprised how she had to pay taxes on her NIL money. And when I used to write,
I told people this might gonna go to jail for tax evasion in the middle of a tournament.
Listen, bro, and Curtis, I wrote an article. As you all know, I used to write for 247 Sports, and before that, I used to write for Rivals and Hokie Haven. One of my favorite articles I wrote, wasn't even my best one, but it was one of my favorites because I could relate to it, was the fact that I've always felt life skills was essential in helping people understand the student athletes and students in general on how to manage money and what it meant to have the understanding of being adult and being self-sufficient. And that's my only concern, because we've seen the 30 for 30s, the Sports Illustrated articles about how 78% of NFL and 79% of NBA players go broke after being done. And I just think that's still an issue. And I mean, it's just because you don't think the money is going to run out. I remember when we used to get our bowl per diem, bro. We used to get our bowl per diem for the Sugar Bowl and Orange Bowl. And that was back in the late 90s. I know these guys are getting way more than what we got. I remember getting my money, and I went to 5 straight bowls. So my redshirt year, you know, it was nothing. But like my sophomore, junior, senior year, I was like, you get the gear, but you could opt out and say, you know what, keep that gear, give me the money. And I remember getting like $700 or $800 for one bowl game. And I just remember going back home to the 757, even when we got back to Roanoke, Blacksburg, going to New River Valley Mall and just buying up, just going crazy. You know, and you realize that ain't no money, but you know, I was just happy. But then my last couple of years, I remember like saving a little bit, getting my mom and my girlfriend, who's not my wife, some gifts. And you know, spending money and managing money is a skill. It needs to become habitual when it comes to saving. And you know, old girl Reese is one of many people that's going to get caught up, but I think it's a good thing. But I think if you don't have leadership or some type of systematic approach involved, it can get messy. And I think, you know, I know a lot of people have been on Saban about his comments when he went in front of Congress about it. I don't know Nick Saban. He never recruited me. I've never had a conversation with him. I know my cousin knows him. But at the end of the day, I have to respect what he's saying. But at the same time, we're all part of the monster that made this the mess that it is. We all helped create it. I mean, yeah. I posted, you know, B, you follow me on Instagram, my personal stuff, and you follow me on, like, so you know how funny I like to be with movies and clips. You know, I even posted on Twitter about my man from Blue Trips who went in there, the white dude that was, you know, wanted a tractor for his dad.
Oh, yeah.
He was the first guy that came in, tried to secure the bag, and he told the coach, he was like, I'm a white player, American, you know, bred or whatever. I'm paraphrasing. I like to get $30,000 cash. And he was just talking about what he needed after the recruiting visit. And I was like, damn, that was in the early 90s. So that stuff has been going on. I wrote for Rivals in 247, so I interviewed a lot of prospects over the last years. Talked to them. You know, I've been around. I was just talking to Tim Settle Jr. yesterday, congratulating him on his deal with the Texans. So I've been around this even before my son was playing ball, and I know what goes on. So this is nothing new. So in a lot of ways, don't get mad when kids are getting even more greedy when the NCAA has been greedy. College coaches have been greedy. We've all been greedy. You know, the NFL added one additional game. So, you know, it is what it is, man. Now you created a monster where kids, you know their worth and they want money. And it's not about coming from a situation from the South or from up North where you don't have much. It doesn't matter if you grow up in a suburban environment. These kids want to get paid. I come from a different time when you just wanted a scholarship and you wanted a chance to get a degree and go to the NFL. These kids want, I mean, look at Baco with UNC. I feel like he's been there 7 years. You know, really? So he wants to get paid and he's probably living very well, you know.
I mean, I tell you, it's wild. And we talk about the system all the time. And, you know, I've been on record as, you know, I'm very pro NIL. I'm very pro player across the board. I do think that having some guardrails up there is necessary. But when we think about the history of college football, I mean, and just looking at the last, you know, 20 to 30 years, I mean, the money made off the backs of players is incredible. And when you think about the ramification of the bag dropping game, the player is the one that gets screwed the most if that shit comes to light.
Mm-mm. Yep. Speaking facts, B. Look, at the end of the day, man, my best example is my cousin, because I was there. I recruited him at Tech. His mom was driving a school bus. He lived in Easton, Newport News, where my grandmother stayed, my Nana, my dad grew up. Easton, Newport News, then and now, is no damn joke. He didn't even have a suit for the Heisman. I've talked about this on your show previously and other platforms. And the truth of the matter is that he made Tech a lot of money. I mean, think about this. He is still, in 2024, an icon. Their kid, 9 years old, I meet. They're like, Michael Vick! And I'm like, yo, you 9 years old, bro. I don't know about me. I'm just telling you. And think about, like, because Tech was already doing very good. I was part of the build. I was there when it started. But Mike just put us in a zone where, after that national championship game, everybody was recruiting quarterbacks like him. He gave birth, not figuratively, but, you know, in the sense of marketing to Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson and Cam Newton, and list goes on and on, Mahomes. And then you look at what he did for Virginia Tech. I mean, when I got to Tech in 94, man, we had like three hotels, bro. I mean, it's crazy now with all the little overpass and underpass and all these different exits and roads. So NIL is crazy, man, but you know, I think about how Mike was living, you know, in an apartment like a regular college student. He didn't have a bunch of money, and he wasn't – people thought he was getting paid like that. He wasn't. Not under Beamer's watch. And one last point before we move to the next question. I've always said this. I've talked about this on other platforms. Virginia Tech is in a – even now with the booming of Southwest Virginia and the growth of the campus, unlike Georgia Tech and Miami, which is in South Beach, and this is going to sound crazy, but hear me out. It's tough to cheat or do what Miami and other schools did, because if you have a Hummer or you got prostitution or helicopters picking your girlfriend up, everybody in Blacksburg and Radford and Floyd and everyone, you know, Christian knows what's going on. It is a college town. So even when I was there back in the day, you know, or even when I go back and visit, it's grown so much, but it's still a Southwest. You can't do all that stuff you did at other schools, because Atlanta is always jumping. You got Georgia Tech, you got Georgia. It's a lot to do. People go there, you know, to do other stuff, to get wings at the club where Gilbert Arenas and them hang out. You got concerts and all that. We had concerts at Tech where they came to Radford or Virginia Tech or most likely Roanoke. So it's tough to get stuff jumped off there, because everybody's going to know what you're driving. And you ain't going to hear about no kingpin setting up shop in Blacksburg. It just ain't happening.
Tyler, what you got on this, man? He had to jump off for a second there.
Yep. Well, I got a lot, but I ain't going to go into all of what I got. But I did want to say this from earlier. Virginia high school basketball, Alabama high school basketball, high school basketball in general, get a fucking shot clock, please. That's what I need y'all to do. Get a fucking shot clock. I'm tired of seeing people get a 6-2 lead and hold a ball at the top of the key for a whole quarter. That shit needs to stop. Now back to your regular schedule program.
Hey, look, about NIL. Hey, Tally, look, real quick, what's crazy? I'm in the DMV when you hit at D.C., Maryland, and Northern Virginia, right? D.C. and Maryland, right beside us, have shot clocks for high school basketball.
I know.
But yet the VHSL this past summer, approved student athletes to get NIL money, which I thought was insane because this is a conservative group of people. Yet yeah. You won't get a shot clock.
Make it 40 seconds. Make it 60 seconds.
Get the shot clock.
They don't care about the integrity of the game, man. They're worried about, you know.
They're worried about other shit.
Oh, boy.
Things lying in their pockets.
Hey, let me ask you this, Dwight. One more question on NIL before we jump to the next subject. Next 10 years, how important is it for the program to have that right support staff? Are we going to have financial planners on staff for all the, like, you just got a $80,000 that you need to go down there and see John. John knows what to help you do with the money, help you invest it. He'll tell you if it's a good purchase. I mean, is that going to become – are we going to have, like, financial planners sitting on staff 10 years from now?
You know, you need it because here's the thing. You're getting money in college. You're getting money in high school, Curtis, and on top of it, I remember my cousin Mike was talking about he was sitting in a room with Jim Kelly's brother, the great quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. And he said his brother had a financial management company and they were also agents. And I was talking with Mike after the meeting. He was like, you know, they had flow charts and portfolios. Yeah, where we come from in the 757, then and now, we didn't grow up around that shit. I went to a public school. Hampton High didn't get air conditioned until my senior year. We went to school, so if it was too hot, we had to get out early. We had inhumane living conditions in regards to going to school. It was very difficult, and you're supposed to be in a conducive learning environment. I ain't going to get all deep like we come from the mud and the slums because Virginia Beach and Chesapeake have some very great places to live and reside. So does Hampton. I lived in a good neighborhood once we moved off Shell Road. But my point being is, man, a lot of us then and now don't know. Unless you come from a home where you have family that teaches about 401s and 457s and portfolios and just saving your money and putting some aside, we just trying to get turned up and just get something. And a lot of times, man, even when I got a little bit of money I had to send some back home. You know what I'm saying? And it's just the way it is. And it's not even a black or white thing. It's just more so an awareness thing. Because there's some white people and other people that come from environments where they don't know either. But my point being is this. The game is changing, and Pro seems to have a good pulse on what's going on. And I've always felt that coaches that get ahead of stuff, that look ahead, they'll set their players up to be straight. Because I can tell you right now, despite my complaining or my concerns, the money in college football and basketball is going to grow. It's so funny how when we talk about recessions or whatever, when it comes to sports, the money's still there. It's just crazy. Matter of fact, I heard this morning on one of my sports shows I listened to, they talking about expanding the NCAA tournament again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And look, gambling, I know I got my parlays. You know what I'm on Prize Picks. Money is crazy right now, man. Like, everybody's gambling. I know shorties that are gambling right now, man. It's crazy. So, they're going to have to get that, man, because if you're going to preach family, if you're going to preach this is home, it's not just tech. If you're going to really want to look out for these young men, you know, you have your Gerard Evans and you have your quarterbacks and your star players. You got Drones and all those guys who I think is going to be a Heisman candidate when it's all said and done. But you also have your middle of the pack players who are going to get smaller deals and they need help. You know, they need help. Yeah. We need to know, what do I do with $30,000?
Right.
You know, what do I mean for real? Think about when you were 19, what $30,000 looked like. Because I remember when
I'm 38, and if I got $30,000, it's gonna get blue right now.
That's crazy. My cousin called me. I was living in Fairfax. I just got married in 2001. He was the first overall pick. I remember Mike called me and was like, "Yo, Dwight, man, come down and live with me. I'll take care of you." And he was just talking to me about the money he got. And then when I went down there about 4 years, 5 years later, he was the face of the league. This is when Brady and Manning were still playing. And he was getting ready to sign a record contract. He was the highest paid player in the NFL. He was about to be. And I remember sitting with him. We were in Atlanta, and we were in a gated community where Little Bow Wow lived, David Justice and Halle Berry. We in Atlanta. Like, you can't even go in this neighborhood, right? We in there, me and him hanging out. And I remember he showed me on his laptop. He just pulled it up. He said, "Yo, sometimes I just stare at this, man." And it was his bank account. And I remember seeing, to this day, it's crazy. It's like seeing the golden ticket you got from Willy Wonka. It was crazy because I was looking at his screen. It was like $27 million.
Yeah.
And you go from getting per diem from Bruce and Berlin $10 a week. That was the game money we got, or bowl game money, to $27 million, bro. That's crazy, Curtis. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's crazy shit.
Well, you was hitting on a lot of stuff, man. And I know we ain't got you all night tonight. I know we got some other stuff to do, but
I'm sorry,
we talked a couple things. No, you all good. You all good. I wanted to chime in a little bit with the triumph NIL that Virginia Tech has. From what I hear, you know, I'm just a fan, but reliable sources tell me that Triumph has Virginia Tech moving in the right direction in the NIL. They said they already have people in place that are talking to kids about financial planning, which is awesome. So everybody, you know, you should feel good out there. I think we're moving in the right direction. But Dwight, we want to get it, you know, change it up just a little bit, start talking some high school recruiting. You know what I'm saying? Because we know you are boots on the ground as far as knowing a lot of these kids, knowing the areas and things like that. And you said, you know, a few minutes ago that you feel like Pry had gotten out ahead of some things and he was doing some things right. So we've seen an uptick in recruiting in Virginia, specifically the 757. What is resonating right now? Like, what is he doing that's got Virginia Tech in the uptick?
You know what's crazy, bro, is he's following Beamer's blueprint. He's making it more modern. I kept saying all Fuente had to do was just evolve and build on Beamer's blueprint and make it more modern and, you know, get on social media, be more hip, talk to the fans, and, you know, we got this guy coming and roll out the red carpet. And I'm telling you, man, Prize is doing what makes sense. The crazy thing now, and it's crazy how quickly this thing has turned around, between Triumph and the collectives and what you got going on with them and how they're connecting with the former players and the superstar former players and current players. And then you look at what Pry's doing. It's a really good hustle right now, and a hustle in a good way. It's a great marriage right now. Pry is making Virginia Tech hip again. Like, I don't know how to, I'm just telling you, I'm a Virginian. And I remember in the 90s and even the early 2000s, when I was done playing, but I was still like a former player where I just finished playing. I was still playing some pro ball and working out for NFL scouts and doing arena ball. And when I went home in the 2000s, or when I was in DC, or even when I went to Chicago one time, people knew about Tech. I remember I would have on Tech sweatsuits. We were on video games. This is back when East Bay was popping. And when you went to Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, Newport News, or the 804 in Richmond, it was like, yo, I'm trying to go to Tech. Like, you gotta understand something, man. A lot of those guys we missed out on were Tech fans. Derek Nottie, Josh Sweat. They were all Tech fans growing up. Smoke Mizell was a Tech fan. Andrew Brown was a Tech fan. I'm naming guys.
Don't call no more names, man.
We burned that thoroughbred bridge, man. Yeah.
And see, again, that's funny you said that, because Pry knows Coach Red and the Colt Boys. The Colt Boys are a group down in 757 that have tons of guys in the 757 that are only 7-on-7 teams that are really young and upcoming studs. And the truth of the matter is that they know Pry and they know Tech. And he, just for the lack of a better, you know, phrase or whatever, he's just making Tech great again. He's making them hip. Like, and then we still have a long way to go to get back to where we want to be, because my goal, I'm sure Pry has the same goal, is to exceed the expectations of just 10 and 11 win seasons, but to be relevant to the point where when you wake up on Sunday morning, you expect to see us in the top 15, top 12 in the ranking.
Right.
So, yeah, man, like, kids are – the thing about it is, man, kids are checking for Tech now, man. They're checking for Tech. Like, kids in Norfolk, like, they're like, yeah, I'm going to Tech. You going to? You got to understand something. I know this is a true story. Tyrod Taylor is my guy. He played in my high school. We both were Hampton High Crabbers. He saw me play. I remember seeing Tyrod as a middle schooler throwing the ball at my neighbor's house because he was tight with their grandson. And Tyrod knew about Tech. And when Tyrod was being recruited, him and Ryan Williams and all them met up one time. I don't know if they were that track meet or whatever, but they were somewhere. They were like, yo, I'm feeling Tech, man. I'm going to go there. Like, you know, remember now, we used to be so cool. We had household names like Marcus Vick, Aaron Rouse, and all those guys. And I remember we played in NC State one time on a Saturday night game. It was the 2005 season, and we were at NC State, first time playing them. And I remember we scored a touchdown, and Marcus and them posed like Marcus and Hyman and Justin Harper and all the guys on the end zone, and they were posing, taking pictures, and they were doing like this, and they were doing like that. DJ Parker and all those guys. We had so many Virginians, and they were just superstars in their own state. And it became – I remember Chris Coleman for Tech Sideline said, Virginia Tech is Virginia's favorite team. Because, you know, the Washington Commanders, then the Redskins were trash. They, you know, they were owned by Snyder. UVA was still rebuilding. They've been rebuilding for a long time. And, you know, Liberty didn't even have football, or they were whatever. I don't even think they had football yet. OU didn't have football. We were the team, you know, and you had the entrance, you had the fan, the alumni. And the one thing I want to say real quick, and we can go to the next question. The alumni and fan base, despite this transition from Beamer to Fuente to Pry, they're one reason why we've been able to right the ship. Because as bad as we've been and underachieved as we've been, great podcasts like yours, Don V, all these other shows, then the fan base, because Virginia Tech fan base on Twitter is lit all the time. It could be a Tuesday night and we're lit. So when we come and you give us a product that's worth watching, last year at home, Virginia Tech was on fire. Virginia Tech recruits were there to see it. Like it felt that game against Syracuse felt so much like the overhyped Miami game when we hosted Percy Harvin and over 200 recruits. We wet the bed that night. We didn't play well, but we had so many people there because Virginia Tech was in the top three in the nation. Number five in the nation, I believe. Yeah. So, you know, just, I know it's a long answer, but I just feel like it was relevant to the question.
All right, Dwight, real quick, I'm going to throw this in there before I throw it to Curtis. Give me, because you always do this when you come on, give me, I usually say one, I'm going to say two kids that we need to look out for. I ain't saying they going to Virginia Tech. I'm just saying two Virginia kids, that's 25 kids that – we need to be looking for.
I don't have because I've been in basketball mode. So hit me with that next time we do our season preview. But I do have a kid I'm very high on, and it's going to sound like a homer, but this kid, his name is Jackson McCarter. And there's another kid, I got two for you, but one you probably heard of. Jackson McCarter is a running back. He is super fast. He runs track at Patriot, but he plays football. He was just there on a visit last week. You probably saw me retweet his tweet. He is an animal. I'm telling you right now. He's a kid, one of those kids that's a Virginia Tech guy. Like, he can run the football, and he gets out, you're not catching him. But the number one guy I really wish we can land, I hope we can land him. I've seen him play since he was 9 years old. His name is Jeff Overton Jr. He played at Freedom Woodbridge.
Oh, yeah, we heard about it. We knew him.
I coached against him in youth ball. My son played against him. And then, of course, my son went to basketball. Jeff stuck with football. His dad won a state championship. His dad is his coach. His uncle just won back-to-back state championships at Freedom Woodbridge this past season over my brother Lauren Johnson at Highland Springs. And then the previous year, he won against I forgot the team, not Stonebridge, but they won back-to-back state championships. And Jeffrey Overton Jr., if you ever see his tape, he is going to remind you of Reggie Bush. Okay. He is electric. He can catch. He can run. And he is shifty. And he is a playmaker. He has offers from NC State. Well, probably. I know he has an offer from Ohio State and Clemson. And he's been to Tech a few times. Tech was just in with their entire staff, or at least five of them, to meet with him a couple of months ago up here in the 703. He is an animal. I'm telling you right now.
All right. Jeffrey
Overton Jr., he is a game changer. He's a program changer. Remember I said Pry has to start stacking his Mount Rushmore recruit? Yep. That's the guy. Like, you look what Tootin doing, he is Tootin already. Like, Tootin with how he's all-purpose yards, kickoff returns. Jeffrey Overton Jr. is the same kind of back. You again, like Brandon Orr, the moment he touched it, he's like boom, 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 even better. Now, here's the thing. You got to keep recruiting him. That's when that NIL money. I've never talked to his dad about his son. I don't do all that. I didn't get involved with Greg Stroman's recruiting or Tim Settle Jr.'s, but I will tell you, you got to take care of him because he's going to have even more people on him. His uncle just left Freedom, and he's coaching at Hayfield up in Alexandria now. But they're going to be a contender again for states because his uncle, Darryl Overton, is a phenomenal coach. He's an offensive genius. And then the last guy I'll throw out there is a guy y'all probably are familiar with, man, is Peanut, Lauren Johnson's youngest son. He's a linebacker. Yep. He's one of those guys that, again, you have his brother there, Breland at Tech, but Peanut is even got more dog in him, and he's got offers from Auburn, SEC schools. He's the heart and soul of Highland Springs defense, and we got a little bit of a pipeline going with Highland Springs. I like that because those guys win, and I feel like what Beamer always did a great job of is getting winners. And one thing I know from even my son being recruited is that coaches that know how to coach like winners and talented players. So keep those names in your back pocket, man.
McCarthy. I'm going to keep it in the back pocket. And he almost took my next question because give me this, because you talked about coaching winners. We know how many team captains. We know how many guys who are breaking state records, whether it be Virginia, North Carolina, other parts. But as guys who are sitting there on campus, do y'all notice that? Like, you know, like the way they carry themselves or like for example, the running back from North Carolina who ran for 13.7 yards a carry down in North Carolina last year, which is insane. Doesn't matter the level. It's insane you can do that. But when they walk in, what is that? Does it mean that the guys on the team see that and say, that guy plays his heart out, he plays a dog, that guy's got a level head, he's our captain, that guy won two state titles? Do you think about that when they come in, or is it, now you're down here now, or is it how you come in and carry yourself?
It's a level of you got to earn your spot here, but we know real recognize real. I know I hit y'all with an early 2000 hip-hop reference, but real recognize real. Like, you recognize a dog when you see one. And we talk. I mean, again, and this is before social media, so I know they do it now. Everybody has that high school pride. Like, we, them Florida boys, even when they were on the team, would talk about Florida boys and high school players. When I was there, we talked about Ronald Curry and Mike Vick. Everyone knew, yo, Big Vick, Dwight Vick constantly talks about his cousin Mike. I told everybody that would listen, y'all talking about Ronald Curry, and I love Ronald. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the high school football. But you know when you got a guy that comes in, you're like, yo, we got to get this guy. You know, listen, you know, Curtis, when you're in practice, and you see a young guy, you're like, yo, man, he should be playing. Like, the older guys whisper to each other. Like, I remember texting coaches at Tech, like, why the hell are you not playing Wyatt Teller Moore? Start his ass. What are we doing? And then I got that BS. Well, you know, the guy runs a senior. And I'm like, man, Wyatt Teller is a cyborg. He is an animal. He's got that, you know, and look, Curtis, you talk to anybody. It's not even a Virginia Tech thing. You know when the guy comes on his visit, it's not even about the look or the eye test. You just you especially now with these things, you see Twitter, you hear about people because everybody in the locker room is like, yo, man, I got a cousin in Georgia. He's coming up here on a visit. He just won the state 4x1, and he also hooped. Like, guys knew about Logan Thomas before he got to Virginia Tech. Like, right. You knew when Logan Thomas walked in. You had already heard about Logan Thomas because he was killing it. And a lot of times you hear about these guys because they're really good guys that, especially during Tech's heyday and what you see with Pryor, you know about them from the state championships. I remember seeing Greg Deutsch, and I remember when Fuente first got to Tech, he was at the state semis when Lauren Johnson and them were hosting Indian River. And Indian River had a linebacker going to Alabama, and then they had another linebacker coming to Tech. Ended up committing to Tech, but Greg Deutsch put on the show, and Greg Deutsch said, please give me the Tech offer. What's crazy about that is, in that game, you had Greg Deutsch, who wanted to go to Tech. You had Kevon Wallace, who won 3 national championships at Clemson, who wore number 12 because of Lauren Johnson, and he wanted to come to Tech, and we didn't pull the trigger. So even in high school, and you're at Tech, you know about those dogs in Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. I remember Josh Morgan talking about guys. He's younger than me, but I remember you meet guys at a spring game, and you see the guys with those, like, passes on the sideline. He was like, yo, see that kid right there? I remember Brian Edmonds, God rest his soul, told me about Macho Harris. Macho Harris was at the spring game. He said, listen, see that boy right there, Macho Harris? I said, what's his name? He said, Macho. I said, what's his real name? Macho. So that's how, so his name, that was his nickname because he was so good. We didn't know his real name. He said, Brian Edmonds and three other dudes from the 804 from the Richmond area said, look, if he come here, he's a game changer. And so you know about it. And look what Macho did when the few guys that play both offense and defense were being. So, you know, Curtis, you know about those dogs on the way. You know, listen, you know when you're getting a guy, man. Look, I'm going to tell you this. I know for a fact. Everybody in that locker room knew Drone should have been on the field earlier than when he was. Everybody.
Oh, here we go.
Everybody knew. Everybody knew. Everybody knew.
All right. IB, hit him up.
I mean, we already there. Let's go ahead and talk about 2023 a little bit. I mean, I know you know that we were on record after the spring game saying start the man.
Everybody on this podcast said it.
Yeah,
all right.
Y'all did.
We did.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, you get off to a slow start. You know, you start one quarterback. You're working another one in. How do you think in the locker room this played out? And, you know, no one really hitting the panic button that early after a rough 1-3 start.
Well, hold on, Dwight, before you even answer that, we got to go back to 2022 when we talk about the Twitter space, when everybody was finna jump into the lake of fire and you had to talk everybody off the ledge with LJ. When we went down there and lost to ODU, got our ass beat, they stole our stuff, we got trapped in the elevator. It was just a bad night. You had people following you to your car talking junk. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff went down. You talked us off the ledge in 2022. Now we're going to go to 2023.
Yep.
You know, we know what happened in 2022. We in 2023. Where we start, B? 1-3?
1-3.
Okay, we 1-3. Now you take us to what Big Vic, what Dwight
thought. Well, I was checking in with people that I could check in with, too, and the word on the street was that it was time to see Drones take over as the quarterback. And the truth of the matter is, I was I had the mindset of I'm gonna trust Pride till the wheels fall off. I still trust Pride, but I think it's one of those things where Brent Pride, he's been on your show. Yeah. He's one of those guys that takes ownership of his success, but also of his mistakes and mishaps or misses. And I knew he was going to get it right. I think Drones came in, and Tyler, you talked about this on this pod with you guys and in the Twitter space, is that, you know, he came in even in that game against Purdue and showed us that he had the moxie and the right attitude. I think sometimes you have to figure things out. But I do remember when Tyrod got there, and Tyrod was a five-star, one of the few five-stars Tech has gotten along with the Fuller brother. And Sean Glennon was a damn good quarterback. He won an ACC championship, and he won some games. But everybody knew Tyrod Taylor was that dude. And I remember when we played LSU, the LSU players, Dorsey and those guys, they went to the national championship. We had a chance that year to back into it because we finished third in the BCS that year. But LSU ended up winning, first time in that time frame era where national championship won the championship with two losses. But they said the game changed when Tyrod came in. Tyrod gave us our only score that night. We lost 44-7 at LSU. And the truth of the matter is that Drones is cut from that same cloth. I think it was evident when he came in. It was just an energy, and he had an attitude. You saw him, and Tyler, you talked about this, and Curtis and B, you talked about it, how against Pittsburgh, he was running up on linebackers and DBs and grilling them. And, you know, he slammed that D tackle from Wake Forest, and it was like, damn, he about that life. And to me, he's marketable. I have him right now. I'll say it again on your show. I have him as a dark horse for a Heisman candidate. I think with everybody coming back, if the offense and Tyler Bowen does what I know he's going to do, it's going to get real spooky in Blacksburg.
Turn him loose.
I felt this way.
Turn him loose.
He got in the rhythm. So
I'm gonna tell y'all this too, man. I ain't nobody special, but like I said, Dwight is my uncle, man. I'm an honorary Vic a family member, if y'all didn't know that. So me and Dwight, we talk a little bit more than maybe some of y'all.
Yeah,
y'all need to get on my level. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. but for real, Dwight will hit me up on some stuff and that I'm not even paying to because I'm emotional about a game or something. And Dwight says something, I'm going to air it out. So y'all getting some nuggets that y'all might not know. Dwight told me last year, whenever Kyron started playing, he wasn't starting really. You know, he was playing, and we kept doing that teetering thing where we didn't know if Grant was coming back or Kyron was playing. And Dwight texted me and said, I'm looking at this young man while he's after – it was after a game or something. He said, if they start endorsing him, he is a star. That's what he said. He's like, once they come out and say he's our starting quarterback, you're going to see a change in this young man. Mm-hmm. Not just his play, but everything about him. And when they started, I think Pride finally came out and said, you know, he's the quarterback moving forward. And it was like the light switch hit. You know what I'm saying? Kyron was already playing. He was already doing the stuff he could do, but you could see the confidence come. You could see the play calls come for him. You could see the media start gravitating toward him. You could see him, those 50-50 balls start going our way. So I don't know, man. Dwight might be what was the lady name? The old fortune teller that everybody is talking about.
Miss Cleo.
He might be kidding Miss Cleo. Hey, listen, you know,
man. Hey, I have a good track record. I always tweet it every now and then. I don't miss when it comes to stuff I call. I called it with Greg Stroman. I called it with Eddie Royal. I said it about Mike Vick. Everything I said about my cousin Mike came to fruition. I feel so confident about drones. And here's the deal. He is special. I'm not going to get all euphoric and talk about all-time greats, whatever, but he is just that missing piece. And going back to your question, you guys asked me about, like, you know, do guys know, whatever. Even though these guys are young men, they're still young adults. And what I mean is, in high school, you kind of do what the coach tells you, but you kind of know, man, you know, coach is tripping. You know, he's a better guy. You see it in shit like movies like Varsity Blues when they're like, yo, man, Kilmore's tripping. You know what I'm saying? But yep. When they get to Tech or whatever college, they're young adults. And they know. They're young men. And now with COVID and NIL and guys staying 5, 6, 7 years now, they really young men. They are in their 20s. And everybody knew. They whispered. They knew. And again, ain't nothing against old boy that he replaced. It's just more so like he fits better what we did. And Tyler Bourne, I think we forget, got to give him credit. He went and got him.
Yep.
Tyler Bourne knew what he wanted. So, yeah, man, I am so excited now doing this podcast. I kind of been in basketball mode. I am so excited about the fall.
Well, we finna get you a little bit more excited because I know we ain't got you much longer here, but I do got to go to the 2024 season right quick and ask you, you know, a couple of things. But what I'm going to start with, I'm going to go a little bit out of order. I'm just going to start with, you looked at the schedule. You've seen the schedule. There are some good games on the schedule. But, you know, you being a big football guy, you being a big Virginia Tech guy, you being a big Pride guy, what game or a couple of games does Pride really need to dig into to win to solidify his legacy?
Great question. What you're saying is he needs that signature win, that Beamer
signature
guy.
Win.
No. He needs that signature win. And the fact of the matter is that
can I say something, Dwight? Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
What's gonna be his 1995 Miami? Mm.
damn.
Which one could it be this year?
We got Clemson at home, we got Miami at their place, we got who else we got? Let me pull it up right quick. We got Vanderbilt. I know these. I'm just calling games that we got. We got Vanderbilt at their place. We got Miami at their place. We got Clemson at home. You know, we got ODU at their place.
Okay. So I think, and this is a great question. I actually looked at the schedule and I thought about this because I'm a visionary and I always do that manifestation stuff. I've always done it. My son does the same thing too. It's a technique we both do. It works if you really believe in it. I really feel like there are two games that stand out, and it's been like that since I saw the schedule released a few months ago. And the truth of the matter is that some of it's going to take shape based on who's ranked and where we are as far as standings in the ACC. Mm-hmm. But the two games that stand out to me are Clemson and Miami. Because Clemson at home, if it's a night game or even a 3:30 kickoff when they come out the locker room at halftime, it'll be dark. A Clemson game at home, because Clemson, despite some of their step backs in recent years, they're still considered the class of college football, along with Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, and Alabama, and those guys, right? And Dabo, if you remember, I know you three remember, you guys historians like me, he took the torch. He took the torch. I was there in the stadium in Charlotte from Beamer and Foster in 2011. We were going for back-to-back ACC championships. They stubbed their toe coming into the conference championship game. We were 10-1 after smashing UVA when David Wilson and Logan Thomas went crazy. They beat us 30-something. Like, it was a blowout. And they never looked back. They did get boat raced by West Virginia in the Orange Bowl, but they never looked back. They became the team in the ACC, and we became a shell of ourselves, you know, teetering around 7-6, 6-6, 6-7. It was tough to watch. I think our game against Clemson is going to be a huge opportunity, because Virginia Tech fans, say we're like 6-2 or 7-2. I don't have the schedule in front of me going into that game, or we're like ranked 24 or right there where we're still in the contention for the ACC. Blacksburg, the fans, the town, the podcast like yours and mine, we're going to do our part. The buildup will be there. The one thing I said about Virginia Tech last year, which they did a better job late in the season, was they have to learn how to win, and they have to learn how to handle success. Until they do that, they're going to continue to underachieve. And they started to learn how to handle success. One of the games I remember was going down to Boston College. They beat the brakes off BC. BC was a 7-win team when they did that. They destroyed them, okay? They went to UVA, an inferior opponent, in a rivalry game, set a record for points, and they destroyed UVA. That's never going to be a game outsiders are going to be like, oh, my God. But we know what that game means for the state of Virginia. And Pratt understood the meaning of it, even coming back that next day, trolling, holding a trophy and a picture of it in the office. So with that being said, man, Clemson is the game for me, because Clemson is still considered the class of the ACC and beyond. And you will turn some heads if you – I don't mean just win, like, you know, for the win and the field goal, and we win 21-20. No, I mean, like, how we did against Miami when Ja'Cory Harris came in ranked 9th and we were ranked 11th, and Tyrod and Jared Boykin and Ryan Williams got busy. Yeah, that's what you need. You need one of those games. And I think the Miami game is one, because no matter – even though I troll Miami, I clown them, and they've got one bowl game win in 12, 13 years. They've never won the ACC outright, or even – they've only won the Coastal when we had divisions one time. They're still Miami. They still have a name. And for me, you beat Miami – at Miami, right?
Yep. Miami.
You beat Miami
on a Friday night.
Yeah, see, you beat Miami at Miami. Even if they're not the Miami during my time, they're still Miami. Those are two wins. But again, just to bring it full circle, signature wins sometimes happen in bowl games. They happen against a team that you may not think. Like in 95, we knew UVA was going to be good. We were in two different conferences. It was probably one of the better rivalries in the nation at the time. It's not now, but we didn't know they were going to be Florida State for the first time in history. We didn't know that they were going to be the best team in the ACC along with Florida State. And we didn't know we were going to be a top 10 team in the nation, because we started off 0-2 that year. So that's the beauty of college football, is the element of surprise. So as much as I want to say Clemson and Miami, we just don't know. A signature win sometimes happens in a bowl game, like I said a few minutes ago, or it happens when, you know, you play a team that is, you know, having a historic run, you know, and you know, you didn't realize that. But beating Miami on a Friday night, I know high school football is still big in, you know, in across the country, but that'll be a game you win in Miami, win the game on the road, you know, seeing Pride walk to the locker room holding up his fist and waving to the Tech fans that are going to be there. Yep. And then everybody jumping up and down, and Drones walking off with his helmet in his hand, looking, smiling with that smile he got. Then you come back a few weeks later, you beat Clemson to secure a spot in the ACC championship game. Mm. Or it might be a situation where you win the ACC. If you F around and win the ACC in your third year, not only is it a future win, now you put everybody on notice. Because even though the ACC is suing itself and you got all this stuff about rumors or whatever, it's still a credible conference. It's still a Power Five conference, and it's still a conference championship. I don't give a damn if it's the 70s, 80s, or right now, a conference championship.
It's still an automatic bid conference.
You, hey, you win the, you win the, you win the ACC, man. It's playoff time.
Playoff time, baby.
Yeah. But this what I'm gonna say. This what I'm gonna say to go along with.
Real quick, the thing about it is that I know I love how Don V said, what we lying about today and we telling lies. I'm not even on some euphoric shit. I'm not even on some, oh, yeah, you know, because you guys know I'm pretty rational. I'm the voice of reason. But the one thing I know about these kids now is the kids in that locker room, they believe. They believe. Like, you had everybody back for the bowl game. Ain't been but a few guys in the portal, and those guys should have left. They need to leave. Man, drones and them believe, man. I'm telling you, I've been a player. I know what it's like when you believe. My son, I talked to him. It's something about watching a young man or young woman when they play sports, they believe. You see it with South Carolina and Don Staley. You see it when championship mindsets take over. They believe. When I was at Tech, it's so crazy, guys, because we won 90% of our games, and many times we believe. Either we were down 14, we believe, man. And I just feel like these guys believe, man. Like they don't even look at Tech like on some, you know, we hope we win or whatever. Now, last year, there were some tough moments, you know, growing pains against Louisville. That was tough to watch. Florida State, we kind of made a little run at the end. You know, we're going into – it was a one-possession game, but we didn't score or whatever. But those, to me, are growing pains and life lessons. I feel like right now, man, this spring is so critical. So, go ahead, Tally. You wanted to make a point?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, just to speak on a little bit of what you said, talking about Miami, that makes it a little bit more interesting. First of all, we play Rutgers the week before, which is going to be a very physical game. It don't matter if they roll me and my grandmama out on the field. Rutgers is going to be physical. That's what – my grandma, she passed away. God rest her soul. So if she, I don't know, if he, whoever he rolls out on the field, they're going to play hard. And they're going to hit you. So we play them, and then the next week we go and play Miami. Now, when you think about Miami this year, they got Cam Ward down there. So Kyron wanted to stir some stuff up. Kyron done went and worked out with Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. And if you go watch that, because I done dug into it, man. I done watched the tapes probably four times. Cam talking a little junk to Kyron. Mm-hmm. He said something to the effect of, "Oh, you, that ain't how you throw that." And then Kyron told him, he said, "I won my bowl game." And then Cam said something like, "Well, you had to run 250 yards when you get." And then I think Shedeur chimed in and said something like, "You know, the second year them hits start, you start feeling them hits." And Kyron didn't say nothing. He just looked at him like, and I'm looking at his face like, y'all don't know who you talking to, number one. And number two, y'all are in Miami, but Kyron has his receivers there. Allie and Quan was there. And, they, you know, the cameraman went to Quan and was like, "Hey, man, tell us your name." And it was no partying on Quan's face. Quan was like, "Quan." He didn't say Daquan Felton, Virginia Tech. He Quan. Said, "What's your name?" He said, "Quan." And that was it. And went back to catching. Hey, them boys mean business, man. And I'm telling you. What we're going to start hearing around that Miami game is, you know, you got Heisman candidate, Cameron Ward, and depending on how our season's going, and Dark Horse candidate, Kyron Drones. That could potentially be a big matchup. And now I feel
it will be.
Yeah.
I can't explain it to y'all. I'm not on no Homer shit. I'm just telling y'all, man, like, Drones is that dude. I'm telling you, I don't miss. I said the same thing when I saw my cousin play long before JMU. I saw it in practice, and I remember telling my girlfriend, then now my wife, I was like, "Shanice, Mike is that guy, bro." Like, I can't explain it. And it's something about people in sports. You can't describe it. You know what? I'm gonna chill. I know y'all got one last question before I jump off. I cannot wait. I wasn't even really this hyped for the season until I came on tonight, man. I was like, "Oh yeah, you know, we're gonna chop it up, talk about spring game." Now I'm like, "Damn, can we get to September?" Oh, I'm ready. Yeah. All right, man.
Hey, I know we got another question, but we got some dude, like New King underscore.
Yeah, Miami fan is what it is.
Yeah, he keep chiming in and he's telling me about all these people. Man, listen, we do not give a fuck about Miami. This is a Virginia Tech podcast. There is nobody on Miami's team that we ever been scared of. Fuck you talking about. Like anybody that y'all have ever had on your team, we don't give a fuck about that. I don't care. If, the only Bane we would be scared of is if you got Bane that broke Batman's back. If y'all ain't got him, what we talking about? So, hey, we going to see. We going to see.
Come on, man. Stop. Miami, look, they will always be back. They will always talk. I love it. You know, to me, I was talking about my friend last night. Miami was more of our rival than UVA. Miami and then West Virginia. We never really had that kind of energy with UVA. Even when we were both ranked and there was a lot of trash talking, they had Anthony Poindexter. It was intense. But Miami and West Virginia brought that dog out of us to a level where it was nasty. I love playing Miami. I love when they're good and we're good because, to me, the ACC did get that right when they renewed that rivalry and made it every year. And yes. I love it. We're gonna revisit that. You know, shout out to that fan. I get it. But every year y'all supposed to be back and y'all supposed to be doing this. And again, y'all haven't won one bowl game in 13, 14 years. Y'all have
we're gonna get new king to God on here. And we're gonna talk some football the week of the Miami game. It's all love, man. I'm glad he repping.
That means look, that's y'all. Look, that's y'all podcast, bro.
Yeah, you know, man. What I'm saying? We're gonna get him on here.
That when you got haters and you got fans from other schools, that's a good thing. That means you're branching out and growing. That's a good thing. Shout out to that guy, man. I love it.
Hey, so much drones going down to Miami now. Like, you know, who gonna be trading in late February in Virginia? Come on, man.
He just talking now, man. Talking about the reason they came to Miami. You know how many boats and hoes is in Miami? During this time, you gonna get me to start talking crazy on him. The boys on that with their shirts off and everything. Yeah, I would have been in Miami too. What you talking about? I would have been out there with my shirt off.
That's for that's for After Dark podcast right there.
Right,
that's right. Miami, yeah, it's a lot to do down there, bro. I had a great time in them Orange Bowls, bro.
Mm-hmm. Brian, I think you had some before Dwight has to hop off.
Yeah, I mean this is the big one. I mean, we got a spring game coming up on April 13th. Are we gonna see you there? We gonna have some good times in Blacksburg?
Oh man, so funny. I was just talking to my son and my wife about this because I got so many appearances if I come to be a part of. I love the spring game. You know, until Fuente took over, I went to the spring game 14 straight times. I never missed one. And then maybe more than that. And then, you know, there was a couple of years with him. I started boycotting it. Not even on some boycotting tech, but it was just, it didn't feel right. You know, it was like, you know, when you and your girl trying to reconcile, but you know, it ain't right no more. But it feels right now, man. And I love tech. I love going back to Southwest Virginia. So to answer to that is, as of right now, the plan is to come back. I got to get my room or something. But yeah, man, I'm planning to come. The only reason if I don't come, it'll be because my son has the AAU game, but I think you can live stream it. Plus, man, he about to be 18, so he don't need me there. I didn't even go to his games last year. You know what I'm saying? So, nah, man, the plan is to be there, B. I mean, a lot of guys are coming back like they always do, and I think Pride and them have done a great job reconnecting with the alumni. I love going back. You know, it's funny. I played. My last game was in Tech, was against Alabama in 98. My last home game was in 98. I haven't played in since 1998 as far as for Tech. And Hokie Nation shows me love, man. Like, it's crazy, bro. Like, going back, I feel like a star. Like, I get pictures and selfies. I signed so many footballs. And I met my wife there. My cousins went there. I say this every time I'm on your show, man. It's a family affair, man. Like,
it is.
It's just a great place. It was some of the best 5 or 6 years of my life. And thank God we didn't have social media because we did some wild stuff too. And I don't mean that nothing illegal. I don't want to get canceled. College, man. Nothing crazy, man. But lived in Fox Ridge, Terrence View, Collegiate Suites.
Oh, man, you did them all then. You lived it up.
I lived it up, man. Look, bro, that's back in the day when I had energy, man. I'd go to bed at 3 a.m, man, and wake up at 7 and – that's back when I could eat whatever when I was in shape. Now, man, I got to be careful. I don't even eat ice cream no more, man. I'll be done.
That's back when Blacksburg allowed gatherings, right?
Oh, yeah, yo, I saw that, yo. I saw it's crazy, bro. You know what, man? I told y'all. Anyway, I got to jump off, man. I love y'all. Man. I really do. I can't tell y'all. Shout out to all of y'all, man. Y'all keep supporting this Boundary Corner podcast, man. Three of the best brothers out here. Y'all doing enough for Virginia Tech sports, especially the football program. Curtis, B, Tally, man, I love y'all to death, man. Same y'all brother. Really bring yes, everybody together. And the thing about y'all hold us accountable, yet you give great insight, great guests. I'm always on it. Every time B texts me, I'm like, all right, let me make this schedule work. I got lots of we got to do tonight. So I'm going to make this work.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
Thank you for jumping on in December. Because you hopping on in the middle of that chaos was absolutely fabulous. Because I'm feeling good over here. I'm going to text Dwight. Dwight, can you get on? It's like 11 o'clock at night. Give me 5, Kurt. I'll be there. Next yeah. time you hop on screen, it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a favorite team anymore except Tech. Like, I grew up a Washington Skins fan, and when Snyder took over, I just kind of fell back. I play fantasy football. I do parlays. NBA is more of a player, so I have players I check for. And, you know, I like watching Jason Tatum and other guys. Curry's great to watch. But when it comes to Tech, man, y'all got to understand something, bro. When we lost in Boston College, man, we were number 3 or number something in the nation, and we lost at that last minute with Matt Ryan. Or we lost those games that we shouldn't have won. You know, for me, it sits with me. It hurts my spirit. Like, because, you know, it's my squad, bro. Like, you know, I helped build that. Like, you will never catch me at a pro game fighting with a Raiders fan. I don't care. I'm there just to watch the game and make sure my parlay hit. But with Tech, it means too much, man. That's why I was on Sally's pod, Twitter Live that night, man, till damn near 3 in the morning. I really was. Like, we were on there like 2 something in the morning. Because I didn't do it just for pride in Virginia Tech. I did it because I needed the fans to calm down, because we were on that pod because we love Tech, that live
Twitter. Yeah. We were ready to blow.
People would talk. It was anarchy. I mean, it was crazy. People were like, yeah, man. But we wrote it out. And, you know, God bless everybody, man. I appreciate y'all, for real.
I appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, take y'all keep up the great work, man. I will catch y'all on the next one. Of course, when y'all go live again, I'll be there with my comments at the bottom doing my thing. Brother.
We'll throw them up there. We'll keep it moving, man. Appreciate you, Dwight.
Appreciate you, Dwight. Tell Isaiah, keep doing this thing.
Yep. Yeah, man. Keep us in prayer, man. We all trying to do the right thing.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate y'all.
All righty. Y'all, let's go to break. Main Street Pharmacy and our digital partners.
I can probably save you a lot of money, and I can take a lot better care of you. That's pretty much it. My name is Jeremy Counts, and I'm a pharmacist. I own and operate Main Street Pharmacy here in downtown Blacksburg. My brother's a pharmacist, I'm a pharmacist, my uncle's a pharmacist, my dad's a pharmacist.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I remember he would give me M&M's to count in little pill counters. This is something I've always done, and I'm just lucky that what I know so well is something that I can do and feel good about it and give back to people. Pharmacies are your frontline defense. Pharmacy's job is to make sure you're getting optimal care for the lowest price possible. Also, we take the pressure off of emergency rooms. I'll tell people immediately when they need to go to the doctor, or I'll tell them if they just need a cream over the counter. If there's something that isn't commercially available, if it's something that's not available in a certain strength or a certain form or anything like that, we'll make it. Tailor-made medications. Some of those options save people a lot of money. What motivates me? I get to take care of people and live in Blacksburg. That's all I need.
As we take a quick break, we'd like to tell you about getting your free website report from our digital partner, Grassroots Digital Marketing Studio. They'll tell you how your website ranks on Google, on-site SEO, and social media. No commitment to buy anything. You can get your free report by visiting grassrootsdigitalstudio.com/free-website-report. Now back to the episode.
All righty, we are back. We got a couple more things we're going to hit before we wrap up here tonight, y'all. It came out today, and I just wanted to hear my two guys' opinions. Clemson has effectively joined Florida State in suing the ACC. I'm not shocked. Brian, Tally, y'all got anything on it?
I'm not shocked. I think they were going to be the next domino always. That was kind of what we expected from the jump. Them, maybe UNC, kind of a, you know, potential to throw their name in there, maybe Miami. But Clemson was always, from a revenue standpoint, going to be the team that can make the most noise at the top end of the ACC. So they're going to obviously be the ones that would have the most grievances under the current rules, the modified rules that we're moving into. So it doesn't surprise me. I'm interested to see the lawyers for FSU versus the lawyers for Clemson, because Clemson is taking a slightly different angle with their argument. So, and I think might be a more effective angle with their argument, but we'll see what the powers that be rule on there. But it's very interesting the way they're approaching this thing.
Yeah, and Clemson was a lot more quiet about it too.
Yeah.
Florida State was ramping up and they was woofing a lot. You know what I'm saying? They had a lot to say before they actually pulled the trigger. Clemson just kind of did it. So,
yeah,
you know, hey, it is what it is.
And, you know, just added fuel to the fire with the way the whole college football playoff shit went down this year. So,
yeah.
They were already gassed up before that, and you just threw more fuel on that fire. So they were definitely coming at it from a very visceral standpoint. Whereas Clemson is very much like, all right, we're kind of laying it out here step by step. They seem to be a little more methodical with their approach.
Methodical, but the one methodical thing that I do think that I don't know why they're barking up this tree. And I talked to Tally, me and we were talking about it before we jumped on tonight, was the whole, well, this is too much money to get out of a conference. And it's like, well, did you sign it? Well, yeah, we did. Okay, that's like signing a non-disclosure or non-compete with a company, right? Hey, this company wants me for $300,000. You did a non-compete. You can't do that. You do that, we're going to sue the pants off you. Like, you can't sit here and say it's too much when you literally signed the document saying it was that much. Because clearly at that point in time, it won't too much to you. But now it's too much because I want to leave. That's the only part of their, like, release that makes no sense. Like, if you leave that off there, like you said, Brian, it's more methodical, but that piece doesn't make sense to anybody. Doesn't make sense to me thinking in a legal or a business sense.
Well, I think the one thing they're doing that may be smart is that they're breaking it up into two different arguments, right?
True.
So they're breaking it up into the exit fee and then the rights.
Yeah.
So combined, those are worth about $600 million, but broken apart, the exit fee is only about $180 million, somewhere in there. Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark. So by breaking it out, you know, the judge might rule, you know, affirmatively for them on one end and not on the other, which might give them a little more leverage with whatever their potential landing spot might be as far as new conference and what they're willing to pony up in order to get them out and into their conference.
It's true. All right, I'm looking up at the TV here. Let's jump on this next because I don't think they can blow this lead. Tech's up 72-56 NIT first round at home. So looking like they're going to.
It's less than a minute. I think we're good.
Yeah. You sure about that?
You know, if they pull it off, you know, props to them because 16 points in 49 seconds is
they deserve to win if they do that, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But I don't think that's going to happen because, you know, we even got the subs out there. But, I mean, at least we got in the NIT. I mean, it's tough to get up for like that. The only thing you hope is there's not many guys. The only person leaving is Hunter Couture, right?
How's he down?
That's the only person that cannot come back.
Cannot come back.
That might be a better way to phrase it.
There you go. We don't know who will come back. But that's the only upside is maybe you get somebody like play Tyler Nickel some more. Because we saw at times this year, Tally, you can shake your head. Yeah. When Tyler Nickel, there were a couple games where
I like Tyler Nickel.
That kid can play and he's coming off the bench. And I'm sure there are times Tally's like, would you start him? He can play. Know,
Mike Young is, I think Mike Young is a good coach. He's a very systems coach, and he looks for system players. So system players sometimes are more fundamental than they are athletic.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying that I know anything more than he does because he is a good coach. He's been coaching for a long time. But I can tell you, in the ACC, some of those old systems and fundamentals will lose you games when you're playing against these big physical athletic guards that you're going to play against from Miami, Boston College, you know, Duke, yeah. North Carolina. 100%. And that, I mean, it just, it's tough, man. So I would love for him to, I mean, he could have capitalized. He did capitalize on some of the success he had, but then we can't keep anybody in Blacksburg. You know what I'm saying? We get somebody and we think they're pretty decent, and next thing you know, they're gone. Or, you know, they don't even start the season. So, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's been frustrating to watch. I think, you know, to your point, Tally, like, when we do get a couple of those guys that can be bigger or more physical or more athletic, we tend to not be able to hold on to them. And then, you know, we're kind of taking one step forward, two steps back, yeah, with the way the roster management is. And I think that's probably hurt us more than anything, right, is roster management has been so inconsistent that we can't really lean on anyone but some of these more fundamental guys that, you know, are going to stick around because they fit what Mike Young's trying to do schematically.
Right.
Yep. But that is what it is. They'll play Ohio State. I assume that'll be – what's today?
Today is Tuesday.
Thursday, I guess.
Tuesday.
All right, let's roll on. Ladies got a 4 seed. They'll be playing at home this weekend. I did not see the whole thing. I caught pieces of it. There's potentially Kitley could play, which tells me she did not tear. Because my assumption was going to be this. If that thing was torn, as soon as they got to 4 seed, they would just say it, right? There's nothing left to hide.
Yeah.
There's
chips are on the table. I mean, at this point, I mean,
what are you trying to hide from a 13 seed? They're going to figure it out real quick practicing in Blacksburg that she ain't going to be there. So maybe it's just a terrible sprain, and it's – I mean, I got to pull up the bracket here because I know we're playing Marshall. Who's the 5? Brian, do you have that up?
Or I can get it up.
Because either way, you know, you feel – it just hurts because you know they got a legitimate shot if she's fully healthy, not only to win 2 weeks ago, but to go deep again. And that's where it irritates you.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is that, you know that there's that potential there. And it's hard to see if they're going to be able to live up to that potential without her in the lineup. And I think we saw some up and down stuff in the ACC tournament from, you know, being able to sustain without her in the lineup. So it's going to be interesting.
Sure. And I think Kenny said something to the effect of if she didn't have a future going forward, then they might have tried her in maybe like the last game or something. Oh, she might have tried to play. He said something to that effect.
Okay. But he's talking about the ACC championship.
Yeah. Okay. But because they know she has a future in basketball, they don't want to risk anything. You know, yeah, they want to make sure that she's fine before she steps back on the court. So I'm hoping that ain't just coach speak. You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping that, you know, like you said, when they got that 4 seed, we would have said, hey, she's getting surgery. If it's ACL, you're having surgery. You know what? Well, you can't. If you got to do it, what are you waiting on? You know what I'm saying? You want to go ahead and get started so you can start rehabbing. So if it's not torn, you know, I would love to see a Virginia Tech jersey again. You know what I'm saying?
One more time.
Even if it's one more time, man. You know, I would love to see her because she deserves that.
Yep.
So I don't know, man. I'm holding out hope that we'll see her again.
Yep, and it's Baylor. Baylor is the matchup down at home. Kind of funny, right? Full circle. Got to play Baylor a year later. All right, last piece. I wanted to hit this because, you know, we had Joe on here just a couple weeks ago talking about wrestling. Did y'all see that because of the injuries that happened, that Tech's now the second betting favorite to win a national title?
I did not see that.
Joe tweet too much. Because I would go find it and pull it up, but it's one of the sites he follows pretty closely. Literally, we are the second betting favorite because a couple of the categories where Penn State's strong, it's where guys of ours could win. And, you know, Joe talked about it. If you get three.
There's two key injuries.
Carter's out.
Yep.
He's out.
There's two key injuries that are putting us in a really good position at weight classes where we were already predicted to finish pretty high. Could end up finishing one. So
100%.
And you start stacking some of that and you start getting some of these, I think, you know, as Joe said, some of the younger guys in these spots where we haven't looked as good or as sharp. I think if you get some extra wins there, you might be onto something.
So that's going to be kind of the interesting piece because of that. And it's such a weird sport because, you know, we had a couple years ago, young guys get in the top five. And that's what happens. Some kid who's good gets in the top five. He becomes an All-American. And the next thing you know, you go from being 10th to like being fifth because of that finish. It's wild to watch. I know we'll be watching bracket games and doing fun shit like that this weekend. Spring ball going on. I know spring it's ball. I mean, we probably could talk another hour on that, but I'm going to hold that because we got a guest coming in a few weeks. We're going to talk all about it. But I think the thing I want to point out real quick, Gunnar Givens, Lamar Law, goes from the defensive line to the offensive line. Probably the biggest thing that I saw in the – as far as depth chart goes, nothing else really jumped out to me. Maybe it should have. Maybe I just was sitting there like, this is what I expected. I mean, they talked about one of the guys, maybe it was Andy today, like the first four, Nias, Kamari, Fuga, and
Gilliam,
thank you. I just, like, so, like, okay, that's what we expected, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's good. Oh, no, I've seen that, you know, Montavious Cunningham working, you know, working with the second team right now. But we'll see how that evolves as camp moves forward for spring practice here. But you know, I think the biggest news again is going to be that those position switches for Law and Givens. Hoping to see Givens kind of put things together, put the pieces together. You know, getting him on the side of the ball where he probably should have started if it wasn't for depth necessity at the time his recruiting class came on board.
Y'all said it a few minutes ago, roster mismanagement.
And thankfully the portal helped shore up some of that this offseason, and we still got to keep backfilling, but I think that, you know, we at least kind of stopped the bleeding on that position group, so that's good to see. Because when he came on, I mean, let's talk about it real quick. It wasn't as easy as, okay, well, you know, we ended up having Kendricks and Pollard for 2023. That was not always expected when those decisions were made in 2022. We thought we wouldn't have Pollard, we wouldn't have Kendricks. We thought Payne was going to be gone because he only had 1 year left, but then he ended up having the injury that kind of pushed that back a year. So we were in a very, very different situation, you know, late 2022 than we were right now. We can actually afford to make those shuffles that we really couldn't afford to do at that point.
So there you go. And that's the things that are happening.
Y'all want a good laugh? Look at the UVA score.
Oh, I saw.
Yeah, I seen it a little bit ago. I think B Fish tweeted about it, and then I seen it when it looked
up. Hey, listen, a 10-minute scoring drought is a bitch.
Well, they had only scored like two out of halftime. That's I think if you look at both, it might be a almost a 15 to 20-minute scoring drought.
They're crazy. I don't know what's going on with them.
They don't understand. All right. Y'all got anything else you want to talk about tonight, boys? Anything that's crossed your mind?
If you have not went and seen the picture of Aiden Green with his shirt off flexing, go find it. I don't know who posted it. But there's a picture of some of the younger wide receivers, and Aiden Green has his shirt off and he flexing.
Big boy. BML.
No homo.
He done leveled up.
he looked like a statue, man. All right. Like I thought he was a skinny kid.
Hold on, wait a sec. You can't. This is just a tease because after spring game, it's the BMF award from Jonathan
Taylor. Man, listen, I'm telling you, Aiden Green looked like a Greek statue, man. On that picture, it might have been photoshopped. I know they say they can do AI and all that stuff. Man, that boy got muscles everywhere.
You say he's on the BMF watch list?
BMF watch list. There you go.
I'm telling you, man. I know we're getting out of here, but hey, spring ball is here. It's time to get excited. This is going to be a great season. My boy Brody is in that number six. You know what I'm saying? I've been seeing pictures and watching him run routes with the number six on. We got Chaz Wiggins at number seven. Hey, the wide receiver room is looking good right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We got some good shit going on.
Look at Robbie. Look at Robbie. Hey,
talking about parlays. Robbie hit a parlay tonight.
Robbie been on the stride here lately, so he finally hit one.
Alrighty. Hey, by the way, other thing, and I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more next week, Fontel Mines.
System. Man.
That's big. I wanted to get that with Dwight, but
y'all, doing what you got to do to keep your guy in house too. I mean, that's important. That's taking care of your own. That's making sure that you keep the talent where the talent is and you keep the talent coming in.
100%.
Yep.
It's 100%.
Smart-ass move.
Hey, Dwight said it earlier, and we're going to wrap up. I'm going to kind of try to wrap up on this note. Frank Beamer had laid the blueprint 30-plus years ago. All the blueprint needed was an updating to the modern times. And everything.
Dust it off, put some infrastructure behind it.
And every little while, everything, it hasn't been a quick. It unfortunately hasn't been quick, but it's everything is a little step, little rung, little step hit every piece, right?
And it was nice the back half of last season taking two steps at a time.
Yep, exactly. Frank
built the house, man. All Fuente had to come in and do was paint it. But this motherfucker started putting outhouses in the backyard. You're trying to raise cattle back there. When he was on concrete, he had all type of bullshit going on. But that's all right, though.
But what Chris say right there.
And pride we trust.
Pride we trust. And that wraps up this episode of the Boundary Corner Podcast. I'm Curtis Wilson.
I'm Brian Siegler.
Jonathan Talley.
We are brought to you by Main Street Pharmacy in Blacksburg, Virginia. Visit the website BoundaryCornerVT.com. Listen to all of our episodes, all of six of the other Dwight episodes where he's been a part of, all six, and a nice number, lucky number seven. While you're there, follow us Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, subscribe to our YouTube and your favorite podcast source. Appreciate you on Twitter there. Went over 2,700 followers last week. We really appreciate that. As always, we let our buddy Jason Long, who is down in Roanoke, he plays us in. Plays us out every week we're on here. Check him out at jasonlawmusic.com. We're to link you to all of his music, Apple, Spotify, his YouTube, Facebook pages. Also, check out his live event page where he is going to be doing quite a few things, always down at the Grandin Village Farmers Market down in Roanoke. And in June, he has got a Harmony for Hope fundraiser, which is going to be at Mango's Bar and Grill, June 9th. It'll be a little festival down on Moneta, Virginia. We'll get a little bit more info on that. All righty. So, y'all, I love talking with Dwight. And seriously, they'll tell you, if Dwight didn't have something he needed to get done, we'd probably be sitting here till 11:30, 12 o'clock talking to Dwight.
Easy.
I mean, we move fast and furious through some of those topics the way we versus how we normally would. So, I'm glad we were able to get the content we did. Dwight is a great guest always. He brings it. He's got the facts. He's got the knowledge. And he's super connected. So, I mean, he really knows. He's got the nose to the grindstone, boots on the ground. It's always great information when Dwight comes on board with us.
100%. We thank all 300 plus of y'all who have been with us all night. Really appreciate that. We thank y'all for listening. And as always, let's go.
Hokies.